The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord.
Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, they came to a village where a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him, to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many duties. And she came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all of the work to me? Tell her to help me." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Now, I know you're all children of God, but we'll skip the children's sermon today.
I can hear the "oh."
I was actually just going to do something on that psalm. The psalm is really a neat psalm. But we'll come back to that. Have you ever considered that God speaks to everyone? Now, there are probably some who say, "Well, duh, everybody knows that. God speaks to all people, right?" But there are others, most of us probably, saying, "Well, I don't know about that. He may speak to the prophets, he may speak to the patriarchs, and he may speak to preachers and teachers, but I've never heard him talk to me." Anybody in that boat? There was once an investment firm that advertised on TV, and they said, "Whenever people listen to us, whenever we speak, people listen to us." But what about God? Who listens to God? Is God speaking, or do we have our hearing aids turned off? Now, some of you have probably seen movies like Oh God or Holy Moses or some of those in which God is personified as a person who speaks to a person. And that's the only person who can hear him or see him. But imagine that God is speaking to everyone. And he even speaks to Abraham and Sarah. It was a hot, dusty, dirty day on the desert when, out of nowhere, three strangers come walking toward Abraham's camp. Abraham is what the Bible calls a wandering Aramean. He's a shepherd, going from camp to camp wherever he can find enough that the sheep have to feed on. These three, this trinity of travelers, comes to his tent. Now, hospitality in that part of the world is still a sacred duty. Doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, if you visit a Bedouin, for instance, in Israel today, they will take you in and you become a member of that family that day. And they will feed you and care for you no matter what background you come from. Well, Abraham has that within him. It's part of his DNA. And he tells Sarah to make up some cakes for them. And he goes out and he kills a calf so that he can feed them meat. And he brings them all of the things they need so that they can sit and relax and eat and drink in the shade. And then he asks a question. Then they ask the question, "Where is Sarah?" And he says, "Well, she's in the tent." And he says, "Well, you know, a year from now, I'm going to come back and she's going to have a baby." Now think of this. That's quite amazing. Sarah is 90 years old. Moses is 100 years old. And so, Sarah's response is to laugh. Abraham and Sarah loved each other so, but never had the child they always wanted. They were growing very old when God came to them and told them they would have a son, an important one. And Sarah laughed, she laughed, to think that she might be the mother of a child. The thought was simply wild and funny. So Sarah laughed, she laughed, though God was standing there. The thrill too much too high, she couldn't hold it all inside, and so she laughed. Oh, lady, gonna have a baby, though spring had long passed by. Oh, lady, gonna have a baby, gonna finally sing her lullaby. How Sarah laughed, she laughed, like any woman would, when hearing news of joy, gonna have a baby boy. It was too great. And I've got a feeling, yes I do, when Sarah laughed, she laughed, God was laughing too. Yeah, I imagine God laughing. And probably laughing not only with Sarah, but with us when we finally listen. Can you imagine that? Having a baby? Well, we don't have too many of the younger generation with us today, but imagine yourself. If God came and said, you're going to have a baby. At your age, most of us would say, come on. We would laugh. I remember there would be some who would cry. I agree. I used this lesson at a nursing home in Mapleton, Iowa. And one of our members, Maud, was 101. Now, Maud was an unusual woman in that she, at 101, if you walked down the hall with her, you had to move because she didn't use a walker, didn't use anything. She was on her own. She was a woman who read voraciously. She read the paper. She knew what was happening in the world at all times. She was a sports fan. And she had won the spelling bee 5 years in a row. Now, Maud is in the congregation as I'm preaching this sermon, and all at once I asked, Maud, what would you say if God said, you're going to have a baby at 101? She got this little twinkle in her eye, and she said, oh my. Now, I got the impression that some of you would say more than that. But God points out to us in our lesson today that all things are possible with God. When God speaks, nothing is impossible. But we have to be able to listen to what God says. Paul tells us that God, Jesus, is the visible sign of the invisible God. That Jesus not only is God on high, but Jesus is God within us, living in us. I've often asked the question, how many people did Jesus choose to be disciples? Now, we know of 12 who said yes. But how many more said, oh no, I'm too busy. No, I that's not my thing. Or maybe later. Maybe when I get a little older. But this we know, that when Jesus spoke, amazing things happened. When Jesus spoke, the storms ceased and the seas became calm. When Jesus spoke, the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could walk. When Jesus spoke, sins were forgiven. When Jesus spoke, the dead were raised to life. When Jesus spoke, all things were possible for those who listened. Part of the gospel today points to that. You notice how we are a lot like Martha in so many ways. We can get distracted and busy and worried about so many things around us that we can't be like Mary, just sitting and listening to God. I've said many times how important it is for us to take some time each day just to sit and meditate, to listen. Listen to what God has in mind for us. Now, we may have all kinds of excuses, but still, consider that God is calling each of us because He lives in each of us. And if He lives in each of us, is there anything that's impossible? Now, I'm not saying you're going to go home and have a baby. Thank the Lord. But I am saying that we don't even have a clue of what is possible for us as a church, for us as individuals, for us who follow Jesus and listen to Him and do what He calls us to do. I don't know what He's calling you to do. Maybe He's calling you to be stronger than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, leap tall buildings with a single bound. I doubt it, but you see the point? Whatever God calls us to do, He will empower us to do. So God calls us to be His body in the world, and that's what we are to be. Now, you know, I've talked to some people, some of our members, who are helping out with the Longmire days. And they said, well, I can't be here this morning. Obviously, they're not. And I said, well, why don't you be Jesus to the people who come to you? Why don't you smile to people who need a smile? Why don't you live as Jesus would have you live, wherever you are, whenever you are? And that goes for all of us. So, when God gives you a job to do, don't laugh at Him. Laugh with Him and enjoy the power that He's going to give you to fulfill all that He calls you to do. My friends, that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.